Charity cycle rides and a suggestion for a new marina now follow in our news stories for part two. Two brothers, aged 11 and 8, have embarked on a 73-mile trek across the Lake District in memory of their cousin who died of a brain tumour. Fred and Barnaby, from Mulbarton, just outside Norwich, hope to raise money for the children's brain tumour charity Tom's Trust by walking the Cumbria Way. Their cousin, Emily, died of a brain tumour within 2 weeks of her diagnosis in August 2022. Joining the brothers on their hike are their parents, Emily's brother Harry, and their grandparents. The journey starts in Ulverston on the southern edge of the Lake District National Park and ends in Carlisle in the north. They began their walk on Saturday, August the 10th, marking the second anniversary of Emily's death. Tom's Trust is the UK's only charity dedicated to providing mental health support to children and young people with brain and other central nervous system tumours.
A Norfolk man is planning a grueling 75-mile cycle ride to celebrate his 75th birthday and raise funds. Glyn Davies of Stoke Holy Cross has set his sights on the charitable challenge in August, aiming to help his village financially struggling preschool. Mr. Davies has previously served as a parish councillor and been involved in the effort to construct a new community hall in the village. The building, which is in progress, will house a customised area for the preschool, currently operating from a temporary structure in the local car park. The move has burdened the preschool with one-off costs, from equipment and materials to temporary accommodation and storage. Mr. Davies sees the ride as a means of support. Taking on the 75 miles will be a real challenge for me, but I will have both my children supporting me, and I would be delighted to help the staff and children at the preschool to settle into the new hall and continue to thrive, he said. Mr. Davies has opened a crowdfunding page for anyone wishing to contribute to the cause.
A majestic guest has appeared inside one of the city's former medieval merchants' houses, ahead of a popular event. Norwich's Cinema City has welcomed a small giraffe sculpture known as a Mini-G that will take up residence to promote the upcoming Go-Go Safari Sculpture Trail. Trotting alongside the five large animal sculptures that make up the trail, there will be around 70 Mini-Gs forming their very own urban safari across the city. It's part of the Learning and Community Programme where schools and local community groups will have the opportunity to paint and decorate their own Mini-G. Peter Maron, Senior Partnerships and Project Manager, said the Mini-G giraffe sculptures at Cinema City offer a sneak peek. We'd love to have as many schools and community groups such as Scouts, Guides, Care Homes and other grassroots organisations involved as we can. And visitors will also have the chance to explore the cinema's historic building.
The long-term future of a city bridge, which council leaders wanted to weld shut but were blocked from doing so because of a legal row, remains unclear. Norfolk County Council is about to spend £20,000 on repairs on the 101-year-old Carrow Bridge, close to Norwich City's Carrow Road football ground. But County Hall is still hoping for a long-term solution so that it can reduce how much it has to regularly spend to maintain the bridge. In 2021, the council's Conservative-controlled cabinet agreed to spend £150,000 to fix Carrow Bridge, which lifts to allow vessels to pass under the River Wense and beneath it into place. The council said welding it in place would cut maintenance costs because deck panels regularly have to be fixed because they are shaken loose by the traffic. The authority had mulled over spending more than £2 million on a three-month repair scheme, which would allow the bridge to keep lifting, but instead decided to look into fixing it in place. But the council's plan was blocked by the Broads Authority. A council spokesman said these latest works are part of our ongoing maintenance programme to keep the road over the bridge operational. No resolution over the bridge's long-term future has presently been reached, but we continue to discuss with the Broads Authority and City Council to find a suitable solution. One scenario which could potentially enable the bridge to be welded shut would be if a new marina for Norwich is created.
Government advisers have defended their opposition to the Norwich Western Link, warning that it would destroy one of the UK's largest surviving Barbastella bat populations. Natural England said it had advised Norfolk County Council about the risk to the protected bats on the route for more than 4 years while plans were drawn up. And as consultation over the plans drew to an end, the organisation lodged its official objection to the council's plans for the 3.9-mile road. Experts said they do not believe mitigation measures such as green bridges and underpasses will prevent harm to the bats. James Marshall, Natural England Deputy Director for Norfolk and Suffolk, said, "Natural England is clear that development and nature can go hand in hand and are committed to making that happen, but that includes ensuring our most precious wildlife is protected from irreversible harm. Barbastella bats are incredibly rare and are found only in mature woodland that can't be recreated elsewhere. The proposed route for the Norwich Western Link Road would destroy one of the largest remaining populations in the UK. It's now for the County Council to decide whether to grant planning permission."
A village haunt, which has long delighted drinkers and diners alike, is celebrating a landmark anniversary next month. The Wildebeest Pub in Stoke Holy Cross is turning 30 in September, and the staff are preparing a special month-long menu for the occasion. Chef patron Daniel Smith and his team will serve a three-course meal, which will include chicken liver parfait, butter-baked cod supreme, and tonka bean creme brulee. Originating in 1837, the business was formerly called the Red Lion and has been owned by blacksmiths, carpenters, and wheelwrights during its long life. During the Second World War, it was bombed by the Germans, and in 1994 it became the Wildebeest, transforming into a gastropub with an African theme. Daniel, the owner, said, "From our regular guests to those who are trying us for the first time, we strive to ensure all diners enjoy a consistent and memorable experience with us."